Thanks for taking some time, Kevin. I mean, I know it's early in the process, but how do you assess the year overall?
Well, I guess you have to assess it in kind of two parts. Obviously we had the I guess the 1.0 season where we had to the training camp. We had all the events leading up to training camp, and and then obviously getting things started, having a year that had many twists and turns and ups and downs, and certainly some adversity that on many different levels that you had to try and kind of work around. And then obviously going into the trade deadline, you make your assessments of your group, and you make some acquisitions, and really liked how things were progressing with respect to when we're getting healthy, what we looked like, what the mood, what the tempo, what the feel of the team was, and then obviously we had the pause. Going into, I guess, the second part of the season, I think we had a lot of feelings that we were looking forward to getting started, looking forward to not necessarily picking up where you left off in March, because I think that you needed to make your own kind of noise in this second part. You couldn't rely on what was had happened earlier in the season, and I thought we were really looking forward to to getting into it. I liked our exhibition game in the bubble. I thought that there was obviously some rust in some certain areas, but I thought that that was something that was to be expected, and felt that as we continued to go, we would get stronger and stronger. And obviously we were dealt with some adversity early on in game one of our qualifying series with Calgary. And again, I thought we faced the challenges as best as we could. And to sum it up, though, I'm real proud of this group, real proud of the leadership of this group, real proud of the way the players handled the adversity from day one of part one of the season, right until the final buzzer. And same with the coaching staff. I thought that whatever adversity was thrown at them, it was more about, okay, what do we have to do now? How do we try to evolve from this and go from there? Obviously, the results aren't what you would like, but that's that's what you're dealt with in pro sports sometimes here, and it's about moving forward and assessing and understanding where to go from here.
It's obviously an interesting off-season for all teams, and given the combination of the pandemic and a flat cap, do you know what the impact will be that will be on your internal budget? Obviously, it looks like you have some cap room, but do you expect to still be a cap ceiling team next year?
Again, there's lots of questions, more questions than answers. I think we're all more in tune with that type of scenario with respect to the industry and the business right now. I think from an organization standpoint, there's lots of assessing that needs to get done, but there's a strong commitment from this ownership group to to do the things that that are needed to be done. So again, have never discussed internal budgets or different things like that, but from a from a perspective of being competitive, this organization's committed to that, so I have no concerns there. From a cap standpoint, it's going to be an interesting time. Usually when I'm sitting here at this point in time at the end of the season, I'm sitting here saying I'm waiting for the cap number to be kind of revealed, so that you know what you're working with. Well, we're sitting here now understanding where the cap number is, and understanding that there are going to be challenges on how to work with a flat cap, not only now, but the cap moving forward, as it's laid out, there's not a lot of expected growth because of the pandemic, for the foreseeable future. So there'll be some interesting, decisions, interesting discussions, some decisions I think that some organizations are going to be faced with that they didn't anticipate, certainly in our situation here. We went and we have players signed to long-term deals. When you're signing long-term deals with players, there's always that anticipation that the cap, you know, will go up. At some point in time, or what point in time does it get to, you know, what you truly expect? I don't know, but I remember, you know, 2 weeks before, our general managers meetings in early March, we talked about the fact that the cap, you know, could potentially be, mid to even, you know, some pie in the sky scenarios, high 80s. And, there was those kind of numbers being thrown around. So there's going to be some tough decisions, certainly in our organization, but in other organizations as well, because of the nature of the cap.
Thank you.
And we'll go next with Brian Munns from TSN 1290. Go ahead, Munzi.
Kevin, over the last number of years, obviously, and with Brian going down this year, you've always had to take a look at that number two center ice position at the trade deadline. Obviously, you've had lots of changes on the blue line as well. Do you look at the center position or on defense, maybe in your top four, as more priority this offseason compared to the other?
Well, we have to look at it as in its entirety. Certainly, to separate the two, if you when you talk about the defense aspect of things, prior to the beginning of training camp, we obviously had Buff under contract for 2 years. So there was, at least 2 years of planning that were going in with respect to having him in our organization and building the group of defensemen that, that we had around that. So, that obviously has changed. So there's that aspect of things that forces you into, changing course as an organization and trying to establish, again, what the best mix is going to be. We tried to do some things on the fly, given the limited, cap space that we had until the trade deadline. So we acquired some players. Most of the players probably punched above their weight class with respect to how they played for us. And certainly the work that was put in by the players on the back end, I think, collectively, although, some of the metrics and some of the, different feelings are that, defensively, we weren't as good as we needed to be, but collectively, I think, that group, did a lot of good things, for what it was. And for that, I think all the defense will grow. I think, the guys that had to take on maybe bigger roles that are here for, longer term, or are players that are still establishing themselves, they're going to grow, from that aspect of things. But certainly it's an area that we're going to look at by necessity. We have some young players that are, coming into the organization, real excited that, Sandberg has turned pro now, and we get an opportunity to see him, in his first pro opportunity. Obviously, Ville Heinola, we saw him at training camp, and I think the opportunity for him to play some games or whatever period of time in Finland is going to be good for him to get started on whatever, start time of the season is going to be next year. So it's great that there's an opportunity for him in that regard. As far as center, to see a player go down like Brian did is something that you never want to see that in hockey, period. And to see what he's had to battle through from an injury perspective to get back to normal quality of life, it's a testament to the medical field. It's a testament to Brian's resilience, and certainly we as an organization support him and wish him all the best, from that aspect of things. From the playing side of it, we're going to have to look at that area, whether it's something that we through our discussions we feel we can fill internally, or we feel that there's opportunities for a trade or something from outside externally. We're going to look at all those things.
And just to follow up, I guess I asked you about forward and defense. How about obviously behind Connor? You know, you've got one of the best in the league, but you know, Lauren's unrestricted. And then you've got both Comrie and Burton who have continued to try and push from the Moose standpoint. How do you look at that number two spot?
Well, I think it'll be something that, you know, will be part of the assessment process here. We really are very early on in it. We have not had extensive opportunity to even really have exits with all the players one, but certainly, you know, with Paul and myself and our staff, we haven't had a chance to really sit down and start to dissect. I thought LB obviously is a great fit, you know, in our organization, you know, from a person and a competitor and a player standpoint. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. I think that, you know, Comrie obviously had a storybook season of his own, you know, with respect to what transpired, you know, with his waiver claim and subsequent re-waiver claim and, you know, and the like. But I think that it was a good opportunity to be part when he was part of the, you know, the whole 31 players here at the end, you know, skating with the group, you know, really establishing who he is, you know, with the coaches and the players. I thought it was a great opportunity for him. And you know, Burton, you know, continues to make, you know, strides as a prospect in the organization. So, but that's an area that we'll obviously need to address. But, and then, you know, again, very thankful for what, you know, Helly has done, you know, and taken the steps that he has, you know, within our organization and a lot of, you know, a lot of success in his individual game, you know, is a testament to his hard work.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll go with Mike McIntyre from Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for doing this.
Hi.
Just wonder what kind of timeline you've maybe been told that in terms of what to expect for what next season may look like. Obviously, we have a bunch of dates now kind of leading through the playoffs and the draft and abbreviated free agency and that sort of thing, and with a tentative start date of December. But do you know when sort of decisions will have to be made on, you know, if it's going to be a normal 82-game season with full travel in all the markets, or if we're talking bubbles and hubs and that sort of thing?
I think if anything that has taught us, you know, throughout this, from the pause and getting to the point of where we actually started playing, and even as long as it took for the league to make their final decisions on where the hubs were going to be, I think that should teach us lessons that the league is going to be, you know, ultra cautious, ultra conservative when it comes to the health of you know, the players and the people, you know, within this game. So any and all decisions, I think, you know, regarding next season, format, games, what it looks like, testing, not testing, I think, you know, a lot of that is going to be, if not all of that, is going to be driven by science, you know, by the, you know, maybe by the lessons learned within, you know, this bubble system that we're in right now. But, you know, again, I think the challenge that the league has, you know, is that there are 31 different jurisdictions, 31 different, you know, rules. You know, just across Canada, there's, you know, different ways things are treated, but, you know, rest assured the league will look hard at it. And, you know, based on our short experience in the bubble and what they managed to accomplish in a short period of time, I think the fans, you know, of all organizations should have great comfort in, you know, the understanding that the league, you know, handled this very, very well and will continue to do that moving forward. So we don't have any answers other side of what you have. I think even still, you know, you talk about the draft and you talk about, you know, free agency. I think those dates are all somewhat still in pencil, you know, until you see how everything unfolds over, you know, the course of the next couple of rounds of playoffs.
And then just my second question, Kevin, is you're entering, I guess this will be off season number 10 for you here in Winnipeg. how much pressure do you put on yourself? How much pressure do you feel internally, externally, to kind of get the team back where you were a couple of years ago? Because obviously, if you just look just on paper, one would say, well, the Jets are kind of going in the wrong direction, third round, first round, and then obviously qualifying series. So how much pressure are you putting on yourself to get things back kind of where you were two springs ago?
Well, again, I think it's it doesn't necessarily change, you know, what year you're in, what whether, you know, again, what the situation truly was in the past here. It's about looking forward. It's about trying to make assessments of where you're at, you know, within an organization, what you have with assets in front of you, and what the challenges are that you know, that you have to, you know, meet. And you know, it's interesting, last summer sitting here, I think, to, you know, to a person on, you know, at the podium last year, everyone was talking about that, you know, this summer was going to be the hardest summer that I had, you know, with respect to getting contracts done and finding a way. I think everyone was talking offer sheets, everyone was talking all these, you know, different challenges. So, you know, those are things that, you know, again, we met head on, and we found a way to, you know, to make things work. Obviously, you know, we got, you know, dusted back from the plate by a couple of curveballs that, you know, we didn't anticipate, but I thought we came off the mat and found a way to, you know, to be competitive and to be in a situation, you know, probably sitting here where no one anticipated. But, you know, if you look back to, you know, the Anaheim series, you know, in the playoffs, and we had to make the real tough assessments back then that, you know, we weren't an organization that, you know, could probably challenge for a cup, you know, with the aging core that we were going to be having at that point in time. And we felt we had to get younger, and we felt we had to make some tough decisions then, you know, so we did. And, you know, we found a way to develop a goaltender. We found a way to, you know, have players that have blossomed into the young kind of core that we have right now. And so now the challenge, you know, for us is to, you know, assess where things are at, you know, with respect to, you know, some of the things that have happened. You know, we have to get a better understanding of where we stand, you know, with the you know, the Brian Little situation, and from a business perspective, you know, certainly, you know, that's something that is going to be on the forefront of our minds, you know, as we continue to progress through this this off season, and then see what opportunities are out there with respect to, again, whether it's trades or whether it's internal, you know, options, or free agency, you know, for other holes that need to happen. So this is where the busy time kind of, you know, starts for us. We're we have obviously preparation for the draft coming up. We have preparation for you know, some internal contract signings. We have preparation for free agency, and we have preparation for the unknown. You know, back to your first question of where, you know, where the league is, you know, ultimately what it's going to look like and how it's going to play out. So there's lots of work to be done, and we're ready for the task.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the help during the year, and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thank you. You too.
Well, next with Jason Bell, also from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Kevin. You know, I'm just wondering, we talked to Josh and we asked Coach Maurice about the element of team toughness. And of course, it can be broken down in a number of ways. Paul talked about size versus grit, and that your team did show a lot of grit this season under some trying circumstances. And I appreciate that. But, you know, is team toughness an element that you feel like you need to maybe address this summer? Or is there another area that you'd like to, you know, an element of the team that you'd like to shore up so that you can take the next step?
You know, so it's an interesting thing. Obviously, you know, if you look at our group and you know, over the course of time, I think that, you know, we have been traditionally, you know, I think we are one of the biggest groups in the National Hockey League for year over year, probably for 4 or 5 years. I think, you know, you people talked about our size, people talked about all that. But, you know, I think that, you know, again, You know, certainly some of the changes that we went through on the back end have changed, you know, the complexion of the organization in that regard. I think, again, I kind of alluded that, you know, we were making plans on our defense with having Dustin for two more years at least, because that was the contractual situation that we had. So obviously some of the decisions that were made on the back end were made with, you know, that thought process moving forward. I think it's easy to say, you know, you want to get bigger, you want to get, you know, stronger, you want to get faster. But, you know, the pendulum can, you know, you got to be careful on how you, you know, try to look at that. I think that for us, when we assess a player, you know, you're assessing, you know, a lot of it on character, you're assessing a lot of it on, you know, compete, assessing it a lot of it on, you know, what elements that person brings, you know, to the organization when you are bringing people in. So to sit here and say our goal is to get, you know, bigger, stronger, tougher, you know, our goal is to get, you know, pieces that fit and that will complement, you know, the pieces that we have in place, you know, already. As far as, you know, what you'd like to see differently, I think, you know, again, you know, it's easy to try and be a copycat, and it's, well, it's not easy to try to say, and we're just going to go out and acquire all these kind of players and play the style that, you know, Team X played to try to win the cup. I think, you know, you have to look at your group and see what you have and what realistically is out there with respect to, you know, trying to fill whatever holes you think you may have. So I thought we, you know, again, we did, you know, compete hard. I think that, again, some of the, you know, the things that that came at us maybe happened because of some of the competition that you know that we have. But you know, I like our group, and I think that there's opportunities to add around it.
And good segue about adding pieces, because you'll draft 10th, and I'm just wondering about your thoughts on the 2020 class. You know, obviously, you're not going to tell me what your order of draft is like and who is on top of your list. But I mean, the readiness of some of those guys in the top 10, the top 12, and potentially what could be there with the Winnipeg Jets pick 10th.
Well, I think moving from, I guess, potentially we were kind of at number 12 in theory going into the bubble and you know, moving to 10, I think does open up some options for us. I think that, you know, there are, you know, getting into the top 10 class, there's you know, there's some really good talented players there, I think, that are going to be there for us. I think we're going to get a good player. The readiness of that player to play right away is you know, is kind of, I think, a little bit you know, up to the player. I don't know that any of us, when we drafted Ville Heinola, felt that you know, he was going to come into training camp and you know, do the things that he did. But I think we, you know, sitting here right now and understanding is you're drafting an 18-year-old person, and you know, the things that, you know, again, you need to understand is you know, forcing a young player just because you might have a hole in your organization is not the best way in all cases you know, to build your organization. Now, if that player forces himself onto the team, then, you know, you take a good hard look at it.
Always grateful for the time, Kevin. Thanks.
Thanks, Jason.
Ready, and we'll go to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Hey, Sean. How are you?
Good. You talked about those curveballs that kind of dusted you off the plate, and you've touched on it. Paul touched on it. Every time we talk to a player, they touch on the loss of Dustin Byfuglien. Could you give us some insight and explain why the loss of that one impact player had such a ripple effect on this team throughout the season?
Well, there's multiple layers to that. You know, certainly you're going into, I guess, probably starting, you know, from a chronological standpoint, you know, you go into a summer understanding where you're at with the cap, you get your cap number, you've got lots of contracts that you need to sign. You've got, you know, situations that, that, you know, that you're dealing with based on the cap. So Understanding, you know, your roster and who you've got money committed to. And we had, I think, $7.6 million committed to Dustin, you know, at that point in time. And the contracts that did need to get signed, you know, you were forced to make some tough decisions on other players that, you know, moved on into other organizations. And you know, the cap was a real challenge for us during last summer. You know, again, you know, after we went to the conference finals, we knew that, you know, we were going to have these challenges 2 years from then, that, you know, the obviously some entry-level contracts of players were going to be ending. And, you know, there was going to be substantial raises deserved by those players. And we had to make a decision at that point in time, whether, you know, we were going to keep everybody that we had then and tried to make a run, you know, the following year, or maybe start trading off some pieces for some assets or different things like that. At that point in time, we believed that group, you know, deserved another shot at it, another kick at the can. So we kept that group together, knowing full well that, you know, the summer, which was last summer, was going to have some real challenges. I think, you know, if you add up all the contracts that of the players that ultimately left our organization last summer, I think it's just shy of $20 million a year from an AAV perspective that those players earned, you know, with free agent contracts in other organizations. So again, you know, the cap standpoint of having big ticket players, you know, forced you to make some tough decisions then. Obviously the timing of some things, you know, getting to training camp, you know, and at that point in time, you know, you're faced with again, you know, dealing with the loss of a player, and we were forced to deal with it in some respects. You know, that you know, again, the guys maybe dealt with it that, you know, you're like an injury where you lose a player and you don't have any control over it. But the unfortunate side is, you know, the cap side of it, you know, never really left us until you know, the trade deadline ultimately. So that aspect of things, that's the business side. The hockey side of it, you know, man oh man, would you have loved to have a player that could pull two players out of a scrum, one in each hand? You know, those are the things that, again, we all know and loved about Dustin. And, you know, to have a player, you know, of his size and his ability, you know, that you know, certainly, you know, helped us be a you know, a force. So, and in the room, you know, those are things that we don't even really get to see is, you know, just the kind of guy that he is in the room and how he loosened up a room and how he, you know, did some different things. So, you know, he was an impact player on our team. But, you know, again, much like we saw, you know, when a Mark Scheifele goes down, you know, in the playoff series with us, he's an impact player on the team. And you have to overcome those, and the quicker you can overcome those, the greater the success you're going to have. Or, you know, unfortunately, you're going to be sitting here having a year-end, you know, conversation.
We just talked to Paul, and he said there's holes that need to be addressed on the blue line. He also talked about Dustin Byfuglien and how he said that departure meant, you know, certain guys were getting put in new situations that they hadn't been in before. Clearly, so addressing that blue line becomes an issue. And you've talked about Ville Heinola and Dylan Sandberg. If they come in, those guys are going to be in new situations. I think we fully expect them to be contributing, impactful members of this organization. But if you take a look at the fact that you look like you've got a win now forward group and a win now goaltender, how important is it to find win now players in this offseason for your defense corps?
Well, I don't know that win now necessarily equates to, you know, to age when it comes to, you know, adding players into lineups and that. I think, again, you look at different organizations and some of the successes that they're having is in great, great part to some of the younger players that they have. So, but having said that, you know, we're certainly going to look and try to, you know, add NHL players to, you know, to the roster, whether it's, you know, through trade, you know, and again, sometimes you have to, you know, look at the assets that you have and see if, you know, those assets are something that can you know, be used to acquire something that that maybe, you know, you don't have, and you know, have something in reserve that, you know, you feel you can, you know, maybe implement in your organization. So, you know, again, we're not sitting here saying that, you know, we're only looking at the young players, you know, within the organization to try to fill holes. You know, to the extent that there's opportunities to acquire players via whether it's free agency, you know, or a trade, we're going to really look hard at that.
I appreciate your time, Kevin. Thank you.
Go next with Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks. Hi, Kevin. A couple of my questions were taken, so I'll try to come up with some new ones here. What grade would you give Paul and his staff for this season?
You know, again, you don't want to say it's incomplete, because again, we didn't get the job done that we all set out to do. But you know, again, under the circumstances, you know, that they've done, they've done an A job for me. They've done everything that I could have asked them to do. You know, from the standpoint of you know, they didn't look me in the eyes and say, you know, Chevy, I can't do this tonight with this group. You know, they looked me in the eyes and said, I'm going to do whatever we can. We understand the situation here, and that's what we're going to do here. So I thought our coaching staff, you know, did a good job, and that's why ultimately we went staff on extensions as well.
All right. I think I'm still live here. You can still hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Brad Treliving the other day said Paul crossed the line in his comments about Matthew Tkachuk. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, again, you know, being a part of that situation, seeing the, you know, seeing the angles that, you know, that we had with respect to, you know, the injury, we had a blue line camera that, you know, the NHL uses for you know, offside review and the like. You know, we certainly didn't like what we've seen. I think that, you know, did Matthew Tkachuk go over the boards with an intention of hurting anyone? No, I don't believe that for a second. And I don't think, you know, again, you know, anyone thought that. But, you know, did he go into the boards a little recklessly, and did he make sure he got a piece of Mark Scheifele? Yep. I do think that was the case. And I think the recklessness is something that, you know, really ultimately is what Paul was talking about. You know, and if you look at a standard in the league, you know, it is reckless that, you know, that I think situations, you know, get addressed when you talk about different suspensions and stuff like that. I don't believe that players inherently go out and try and hurt each other. But I do believe that, you know, sometimes the recklessness, you know, maybe is something that that they get punished for. I don't believe Josh Morrissey, you know, sought out to cross-check Staal in the playoffs in Minnesota several years back. But you know, he was deemed to have a reckless stick and was punished for it.
Yeah, I think Paul didn't use the term reckless, but he did use the terms intentional and filthy and disgusting, I believe.
Yeah. Well, again, I know what was talked about within, you know, the confines of the conversation that I had with the National Hockey League, and you know, that would be paraphrasing, you know, what we had talked about with them.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
And next we'll go with Sarah Orleski from TSN. Go ahead, Sarah.
Kevin, when you look at the number of unrestricted free agents that you have coming up right now, and one of them in particular, Dylan DeMello, has expressed interest in, or said how he felt that it's been a good fit for him since he was acquired, and he could see himself be coming back here, something that might be of interest to him. Have conversations started with his representatives at all? And where would you, how would you characterize the way that you're approaching kind of your unrestricted free agents?
You know, certainly I thought, you know, again, really, really appreciated what Dylan brought to the table, you know, from a play perspective and also from a person perspective. I thought, you know, again, he really fit in well. You know, I said that going into, you know, the bubble situation, and can say that coming out of the, you know, the bubble play as well. We'll definitely take a look at it. We haven't had any negotiations with his representatives, but there has been a constant communication with respect to the understanding that we think he is a good fit. Being an unrestricted free agent or potential unrestricted free agent, there's obviously different things that I'm sure they're considering. But again, the positive side of things here for us right now is generally you're sitting here waiting for that salary cap to get set. We do know that number. Now it's just a matter of trying to understand our own internal circumstances with respect to filling all the holes that we have, and as to what parameters we can kind of assign to every situation. But really appreciated what he brought to the table for us.
And maybe just expanding that that answer, do you approach free agency perhaps this year differently than what we've seen in more recent seasons, with maybe some of the holes that you have and some of the significant spots?
So last year, you approached free agency differently because you had the RFA contracts that needed to get done. The year before that, you approached it differently because of the circumstances that, we're presenting, at that point in time. Sometimes you're a little more active in free agency, depending on where things are at. Our RFA situations are not as numerous as they were last year. Jack Rossovic and Mason Appleton up front, are two significant, RFAs. Jansen Harkins is an RFA. So we have some RFA work that does need to, to get done. In that regard. So you'll certainly look at that. You'll take a look at the UFA market. I think you'll take a look at the trade market as well, simply because of maybe other teams' potential cap situations with the flat cap, and see if there's any things there. I think you're probably going to see some guys in the league not get qualified because of potential cap situations on other teams. So I think you'll take a look at that as well. So that's the work that needs to get done between now and then with our staff, there's a lot that goes into each and every decision as to which path you ultimately take.
Thank you.
All righty, and we'll close things off with Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Kevin, thanks for taking the time. Just closing off, kind of picking around the edges of what's been covered. I'm wondering, first off, do you have an updated list of loans made to other teams, whether it's Heinola was announced, Chibisov, and some of the others so far?
As far as from other teams?
Mm-hmm. And I believe Michael Spacek in Tampere and other things like that, Luoto and what have you. I imagine, given the uncertainty of the dates, there might be a handful of these guys.
Yeah, so there's a couple more that could be coming down the pipeline for us, with respect to, loans. Again, I guess until, we either have an agreement with those teams, or those teams have agreements, with individual players. The tricky part, the tricky part is not all teams in Europe and not all leagues in Europe are allowing players to go, to their teams with the potential of obviously those players leaving to come back to North America when we start. So some organizations are choosing not to go down that path. Some leagues themselves are choosing, unless the player is there the entire year, they're not accepting, players like that on loan. So it's it becomes challenging, I think, at times to find the right situation. So, but I think you will see some more with us potentially in the coming days, and then again around the league as well. But every situation is different because of the whether it's the nationality of the player and the willingness of each individual team to take that risk of losing a player, halfway through their season.
Thank you for that. And following up on, you referenced a flat cap in answering in Sarah's question about free agency and that some guys might not necessarily get qualified. Is there going to be opportunity I want to say the reverse Mason Armia deal, where you're able to absorb some money, get a good quality young player. Is there going to be opportunity in those unqualified guys who are probably a little better than usual, who want to bet on themselves? I guess the question is, where are the areas of opportunity given this unique outlook that you've got in front of you?
Well, I think if you look back to maybe, you know, Matthew Perreault back when we first signed him in our organization many years ago, you know, that was kind of a situation in some respects like that. I think he had an arbitration case that was going to be, you know, I'm only speculating because I obviously wasn't in there, but, you know, he didn't get qualified. He became a player that wasn't necessarily on the free agent list going into free agency period, and then all of a sudden he appeared. So we had the right fit for him at the time, and you know, he had the desire to try and prove himself. So you know, that turned into a long-term you know, relationship you know, with us in that regard. So I think if you look last year, there was, you know, several players that you know, that maybe fell into those categories, and you know, all you can do is kind of project internally here by going over and poring over other teams' caps and situations as to what might you know, become available or not, and then, you know, one thing that we can provide for those players is an opportunity to play with a real solid core of players. So you know, whether it's a center or whether it's a winger or whether it's a defenseman, you know, I think we're an easy sell to say, you know, well, you can play alongside Josh Morrissey, or you can play with you know, player X up front. So, you know, those are, I think, enticing things to try to maybe get a player to come in and prove themselves.
Thank you for that. If I can squeeze kind of more of a yes, no, I don't want to take too much of your time. You've given us a lot of it. But as I understand it, it would be legal for the teams that aren't in the playoffs right now to start making transactions. Do you expect that to happen? Is that a realistic thing?
So it's always been that case. I think, you know, when the playoffs are going on in traditional fashion, that's always been the case. So, you know, historically, I think the chatter really starts to happen more when everyone's available and everybody's in a situation where, you know, they're in off-season mode. I think in you know, if I had to sit here and really look at it, you know, again, some of these teams that are in the playoffs are might be those teams that are, you know, most economically challenged, you know, when it comes to the salary cap. So, you know, you might benefit by waiting it out.